All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring our sacred faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor Lee Bowser.
How are you doing, Patrick?
And Noah Lisa McCarter.
Nah.
Yeah, she's like in a plane or something.
October quitters, you know.
Yeah, sure. Wow. Where's your commitment?
It's indeed. To a plane, apparently.
Yeah, all right. Back in the studio together.
Yeah.
I guess we were here last week, too.
But we are back. That's also true.
Yeah. I had a sick kid yesterday, so, you know, my brain is foggy.
Yeah, you have no idea what day it is, what time it is.
I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Hard to say. Plus, Monday was a holiday. It was kind of
a weird week, man.
It's
tough, yeah. So, like, Wednesday is now your Monday.
That's true. Wednesday is the new Monday, everybody. Okay. I got a bad case of the Wednesdays. Me and Garfield.
I got you a lasagna. Here you go.
It's bratwurst for dinner tonight.
It is.
Not lasagna.
I bet we could get something for you.
Yeah. Not really a huge lasagna guy.
Get you a little personal Marie Claire lasagna.
I'm not any lasagna is a personal lasagna if you're brave enough. Okay.
That's right. You can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah.
Not a lasagna fan?
I'm really not pasta in general. Ooh. I mean, it's fine. It's never my first choice.
Interesting.
Or my second choice. Probably not the third. Maybe fifth or sixth.
Do you go to Italian restaurants?
Cat likes it, so yes.
Okay. What do you get when you go to an Italian restaurant?
Chicken scampi is totally fine.
Okay.
I mean, chicken Alfredo is all right. You know, these are.
Do you not like tomato based sauces?
That's fine. Spaghetti is fine. Okay. These are all fine.
Just not something you want.
Is wrong with it.
What's your jam? Like, if you're like, oh, this is what I want. What are you going for?
Oh, Mexican food.
Okay, that's fair.
Or Chinese.
Okay.
Yeah. Or barbecue.
Okay.
Or a steak. Or a burger.
Okay. Lots of options before Italian.
Those are the things that I would want.
Okay.
I will take Italian over fish.
Okay.
Get fish out of here.
What about Chinese fish or Mexican fish?
No.
Fish taco.
No, I mean, sometimes I'll have a shrimp taco. I think it's
a shrimp taco, sure.
Yeah.
Shrimp are seafood, but really not fish.
Yeah.
Crustaceans.
Probably fried fish taco would be fine.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it's really just
fried. I do prefer my fish fried. That's the best way to have a fish.
It really is. Well, people who like fish are like, try this. It doesn't taste like fish. Like, well, why would I want fish then?
Right.
You know what this is? Like fish steak. Like, that definitely does not taste like fish.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Hey, you like to run.
I do like to run.
All right.
I went for a 10K the other day.
A 10K?
Yeah.
Wow, that is 6.6?
6.2, but yeah.
Okay, close enough, yeah. Wow, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
I once ran a 5K, so.
And you weren't even being chased by a bear?
Not even being chased by a bear. I did it for cancer.
Okay. Not because you had it, but to help cure it for other people.
No.
Presumably?
A friend of mine's mom was.
Okay.
So I ran the 5K.
Yeah, in honor of, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But hey, if you want to raise money.
I do like raising money.
For a children's hospital. They have a new race.
Okay.
I just like to run for fun.
Depends on the hospital. I don't know.
North Carolina.
Okay.
This is a 5 miles in 1 hour.
Okay. I can do that.
But you also have to eat 12 donuts.
All right. So
it's the Krispy Kreme challenge.
All right. So I have to run 5 miles and eat. Are there like intervals where every so often I have to eat a donut, or do I get to choose when I eat the donuts in the course of the 5 miles?
That is a great question. I'm trying to figure that out. If you start off with 12 donuts to start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I'm thinking like I could probably do a donut a mile. And then I can run that in about 45 minutes. And then I can do another.
And then at the end, you just purge donuts.
7 donuts in 15 minutes. That's easy. I can do that. Yeah.
What if you had to start with the 12 donuts? Like you eat 12 donuts and then start running.
That, I mean, eating 12 donuts in a row
I can do that part.
I could do it, but it's not going to feel good. This is a hospital who's suggesting this?
It's children's hospital, so it's fine. 2,400 calories, 12 donuts.
Okay.
It's only calories. I mean, like, that's just
a lot. Fewer calories than I thought it was going to be for 12 donuts. So.
About 200 a donut. I guess that seems about reasonable. I mean, what kind of, is this just a classic glaze?
If it's Krispy Kreme, I assume it's just classic glaze.
Okay.
They don't do filled donuts at Krispy Kreme.
They do other kinds of donuts there. You can get an assorted.
But aren't they all just like assorted, like different types of glaze and icing and stuff?
I don't know. I haven't been to a Krispy Kreme in quite some time.
I don't think Krispy Kreme does the filled, but maybe they've changed. Maybe they do something new now. Would you do this?
No.
How much would I have to pay you to get you to eat a dozen donuts and try to run 5 miles?
The dozen donuts is fine. Like, you don't need to pay me a thing.
I'll do that for
you
free.
Need to buy 12 donuts, and I will do that. It's the 5 miles. In 1 hour? I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be moving. But like, it's not quite as bad as you think.
It definitely is.
but like, pace-wise, it's not like, because you can do basically 12-minute miles.
Yeah, that's, I can't do that.
You probably can.
I don't think I could.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey.
You can almost walk a 12-minute mile.
If the Krispy Kreme 5K, 5 miles.
Okay, you got another option?
I got one for you. And this is in Denver. This is the Taco Bell Ultra Marathon.
Oh, God, no. I'm out. Hard pass.
All right.
What do you have to do?
31 miles.
Okay.
And eat at 9 Taco Bell restaurants.
Oh.
Hey, carb up.
You gotta any number of miles to eat at any Taco Bell restaurant, and I'm out. Like, that is it's a hard pass for me. This sounds like a Boulder thing. Is this a Boulder thing?
You have to eat. Yeah, you go to 10 different Taco Bells, and you have to eat 9 at 9 of the 10 stops.
Oof. Do you get to choose off the menu what you eat?
By the fourth stop, you must have consumed at least one Chalupa Supreme or Crunchwrap Supreme. And then by the end of the eighth, you have to do at least one Burrito Supreme or one Nachos Bel Grande.
God.
You got 11 hours.
11
drinks
hours.
Do not count as food.
Okay. So you can't just order drinks. You got to eat at
you
all.
You got to eat. What would you? I mean, just a classic taco.
I don't even know what's on their menu. But yeah, probably a classic taco. Or don't pull up their menu. I don't want to look at this right now.
I got it up here. You don't need to worry.
Yeah, I mean, a classic taco. I mean, there's probably like a
soft or crunchy. That's be the first choice.
I mean, if I'm running, probably
the crunchy probably tastes better.
Yeah, probably crunchy is better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like a quesadilla or something for variety.
Okay.
But you don't want to get too much cheese. That can That can really cause some issues come mile 6 or 7.
What about the Fritos burrito?
No, the Fritos burrito will not be on my list. I mean, I would eat a burrito with Fritos on it.
Yeah, it's like a Frito pie in a tortilla. But it's really good.
It sounds delightful, but I'm not going to get it from Taco Bell.
They said, if you intend to participate, RSVP with your statement of intent. Once you RSVP, you are in. This is like the Goblet of Fire.
So there's no backing out. Yeah, okay.
And no on-course Pepto, Alka-Seltzer, Pepsin, AC, or Mylanta will be allowed.
Wow, okay. Is there like an official star, or is this just like a you do it on your own, like just to see if you can survive?
This is just on their own.
So you just sign up and you're like, I'm going to do this. And then you like post a video at the end. You're like, look, I did it.
If you want to do, you know, you say like, hey, I'm in for the Taco Bell challenge, 31 miles and 9 different stops at a Taco Bell restaurant. You can do better.
Okay.
You can do the Diablo challenge. Lather all items with Diablo sauce and a Diablo shooter at the end.
Oh, I don't know what their Diablo sauce is, but it does not sound like something I want to shoot.
How about a Baja Blast challenge?
How many Baja Blasts am I going to have?
2 liters of Baja Blast during the run.
That is a liter and many more, too many of Baja Blast. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's in Denver.
Oh, Colorado.
Yeah. What would, I mean, if you do have to do like a little, you know, eat at a fast food, you know, greasy something.
Yeah.
What would be your go-to for running here?
Yeah, for running? Okay, so like what do I want to eat as I run? I mean, Whataburger's got like the chicken strips that are pretty safe.
Really good, yeah.
I think most chicken places are pretty safe.
Sure.
Though I would go towards
nuggets.
I'd go towards nuggets as opposed to like KFC like on the bone that tends to be greasier, a little heavier.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, McDonald's has, you know, their nuggets, their fries. McDonald's fries are better, so I would eat their fries without a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen places that have had like the donut mile challenge and things like that. We have to like eat a donut every lap, or like 4 donuts in a mile or something like that.
Okay, I did see a thing. Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, the hot dog guy.
Versus Usain Bolt.
Okay.
They have to eat a hot dog and run 100 yards. Who would win?
Still Usain Bolt.
Yeah, it's really a question of how fast could Usain Bolt eat a hot dog. Really, because like, Joey Chestnut could eat it like 0.5 seconds. Like, it's just...
I mean, I get that, but Usain Bolt can shove the hot dog in his mouth, chew it while he's running.
Finish it, tongue out, and then...
And then he's allowed to run?
Then you're allowed to run.
I mean, maybe, but he's still so fast.
Yeah, because he's doing it in 10 seconds. I mean, that's just that's a slow day. It's 10 seconds.
Right.
And so, like, if Joey Chestnut can do it in 30, I don't know. How fast could I run? Maybe 20?
I mean, I would say if you're really...
Maybe I could get to sub 20. If I'm like, I'm going to do it.
If you train for it, you could get
sub
20.
I'm going to do it as fast as possible. All I have to do is 100 yards.
Yeah.
And then I'm done.
Make sure you stretch first.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
before I eat my hot dog.
Otherwise, you're pulling a hammy at 50 and then you're out. I don't know. I mean, Joey, I feel like Joey Chestnut would have to run it in like 15 seconds. And I don't know that he's got that in him.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Usain Bolt is probably the odds-on favorite there.
Yeah. Because 15 seconds is
still fast.
It's fast.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah.
It's not world record, but it's fast.
I think he has to do it under 20 to stand a chance and hope that it takes
Usain Bolt forever.
10 seconds to eat a hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Usain Bolt has a better chance of eating a hot dog
faster than Joey Chestnut. I think he could train for that far easier.
Yeah. All right. So Usain Bolt, I don't know how common hot dogs are in Jamaica, so maybe this like foreign food.
That's true.
Maybe he's just like repulsed by this thought of a hot dog altogether.
I mean, that's probably fair. So
the Olympics are coming up. I see an opportunity here. Though I guess this would be a summer Olympics.
Coming up?
February. There's a Winter Olympics in February.
Okay, sure.
That's coming up. There are advertisements for them.
Okay. Joey Chestnut versus, I don't know. I don't. who's a Winter Olympian?
I don't know. Some downhill skier.
Apollo Ano.
He's not around anymore. He's retired. Yeah. That was good for.
Michelle Kwan?
She's definitely not around either.
Is that ice skating?
Yeah. That was ice skating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was Apollo Ono, not Apollo Ano.
That's, you know, close enough. All right, here we go. Main topic from Christianity Today.
Oh, we weren't just talking about Baja Blast and Doritos Locos Tacos.
You want to wrap it up? How does the Diablo? It is Diablo Challenge. I mean, that is part of, you know, Jesus.
Okay. All right, well, right into the Diablo then.
Into the Diablo. Actually, that's fitting. Christianity Today, we're going to talk about monsters and demons.
Ooh.
We are not afraid of monsters and demons anymore.
I wasn't before, but okay. I mean, as a kid, I guess I was afraid of monsters.
This is by Isabel Ong. She is the editor of the Christianity Today, like, Chinese publication.
Oh.
So.
I could not have told you that there was a Chinese publication for Christianity Today. That doesn't seem like something the Chinese government would allow.
I don't know how it works.
Okay. Good for her.
Good for her. All right. So she, you know, I read the article.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did too.
Yeah, last week when we talked about it the first time. I definitely remember everything in that I read.
So here's the thing. We had a rise of some demon and monster stuff.
There's a rise in demon monster stuff?
Not like the, you know, but pop culture. Demons,
oh, okay.
Monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
K-pop demon hunters.
Sure.
It's like the biggest thing on Netflix. It's
very big.
Have not
very
watched
popular.
It. Have you watched it?
I have not watched it. My daughter has watched it.
Did she like it?
She did like it. And then I discovered that my niece on Amanda's side, my niece who is a freshman in high school, also loved it. And so she and Sophia were very much excited to talk about that over the summer. And my niece was telling me that this is like the first time where like a fictional TV band has become like mainstream popular. And I wanted to point back to like the Monkees of the 1960s, but I decided that that was not something that she needed to care about. So at any rate, it seems interesting. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be something that I'm going to binge
the
and take.
The Partridge Family?
They did a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Sure. There you go. I've not seen it. A young lad here at church, when I asked him what he was going to do for Halloween, he said a character on there and then acted like I was stupid for not knowing who
that is. That sounds right. Yeah, that tracks.
What? Like, when did this happen?
When did I get to be old? I don't know.
I know a lot more about pop culture than you do, kid. but I missed K-pop demon hunters. So now I'm the idiot who does not know what that word is that you just said that you're going to be for Halloween.
Yep.
All right. So we've got a... She's, you know, basically pulling from like some shows, and she's basically speaking for her Chinese audience.
Too. Okay,
so,
all right.
We've got monsters and demons and things in K-pop demon hunters. Evidently, the characters are like demons, are partial demons, or like half demons. Yep. I don't know, and they're like saving the world.
Sure, some of them.
Some of them against other demons.
Yeah, who are being hunted.
Good demons, bad demons.
They're hunters and hunted. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not anti K-pop demon hunters. Maybe I'll watch
I don't
it.
Have an opinion, yeah.
Yeah, it seems, you know, I'm a 46-year-old man. Like, it's, I'm definitely not the target audience for K-pop demon hunters.
It'd probably be a little weird if you were super into it, and we'd have some other questions.
If you dropped K-pop, it's probably more appealing, to be honest.
If it's just demon hunters?
I'm like, okay, what's
yeah,
this?
I'm intrigued. Yeah, yeah, sure, sure.
The K-pop is definitely pulling it down in my yeah. mind. Yeah, so, all right. But, you know, basically this. We got this rise of these demon shows.
Cultural awareness of demons.
Cultural awareness of demons.
Yeah.
But the demons are the good guys.
Okay.
Or at least partially.
Yeah.
Some of the demons mm-hmm. are the good guys.
Yeah.
And so should we be afraid of monsters and demons? Or should they be like, hey, they're just like us?
Yeah. So this kind of goes back to like The Good Place, which was a couple years back.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was probably almost 10 years now, wasn't it?
Sure.
But so, I mean, that was, there was this kind of idea, like, can a demon be redeemed, right? Can a demon, end up being good? I think that's an interesting concept yeah. that they put forth. There was another show that I was going to reference that I've now forgotten, but I don't think this is the first time that we've seen this idea of like, what's the redemption of a demon look like, or is that even possible? So, but the author's point is, should we as Christians, I'm assuming, should we as Christians be afraid of demons?
Well, I think it's just like a cultural, you know, something kind of more interesting, you know, like it used to be, and maybe this is a question, like when we thought of like good and evil, demons and angels, it's clear like they're wrong, they're right, they're good, they're bad. And now we have much more nuance attached to our demonic.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's kind of the question. You
yeah.
know, like, and look, I don't think if you or your kid watches K-pop Demon Hunters, like, we don't need to revisit the Satanic Panic. Like,
no.
It's just a TV show.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It has nothing beyond that. I don't think any kid who watches that is all of a sudden going to be possessed by anything.
No. Maybe a love for K-pop.
So maybe that's got to do an exorcism.
that's enough right there.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which may be fine. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're not targeting me with
sure.
their stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I hear that. I think that it's an interesting point that you bring up. The kind of like the normalization, or how did you phrase it, right? The blurry lines, right? Of like what's good and evil and what is this really? I remember seeing this. And you've probably seen this too, right? With Star Wars, right? And I remember growing up, it was so clear the rebels were the good guys.
Absolutely.
And even with the new swath of Star Wars movies, there's been questions kind of raised, like in The Mandalorian and other places like that, where people who are on the side of the Empire view the destruction of the Death Star, which was like this great glorious moment in the original rebellion, as like this was a tragedy where these terrorists attacked our, you know, our base, and I lost lives or I lost friends and loved ones on that ship and things like that. And so even that is like, I think our cultural movement has shifted towards nuance in the conversations around right and wrong, black and white, good and evil, as opposed to just saying like, oh, here it is. This is it. And this is, you know, white hat, black hat, as we do in the old, the Westerns, right?
Sure.
I think
yeah.
it's not as clear as it used to be. And I think in a lot of ways that's really healthy and really meaningful, because our world is not, has never been that clear. Right. And I think it's good for
yeah.
us to look at the world and see more of that nuance. Yeah. At the same time, though, I think our modern understanding of science and like the world around us
yeah.
has demystified a lot of the spiritual, to the point where we now categorize the demonic as like this mystical thing. Mythical, right? Mythical in the veins of like a Pegasus or a unicorn, of like, oh yeah, the demons. And so then we can create these fantastical stories, meaning that in the fantasy sense, right? These fantastical stories about them, where like a unicorn or a Pegasus, they can have these redemption arcs because they're just a character in another world, and we don't necessarily look at them and say, oh, that's a real thing
yeah.
that we should be dealing with and thinking about. I don't think that we're equating those two. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are kind of a couple things going on here. And first is the idea of like, all right, we no longer, maybe culturally or societally, or, you know, like as we kind of produce our media, the idea of like God-centric, and whether that
yeah.
was subconscious
yeah.
or not on this site. So the idea of like there is an ultimate supreme good
mm-hmm.
fighting against an ultimate supreme evil. And we as humanity are in between these
sure.
two places. And yet there is an ultimately supreme good on one side and a supreme evil mm-hmm. on the other. And so it's kind of like we have kept the battle between the two while removing the two sides.
Interesting.
So there's no longer an ultimately supreme good or an ultimately supreme evil. It's just the battle in between. That's what we have now kind of chosen to focus in on. So we're the center of the battle.
Okay.
And if you're focusing on that, then anybody can be redeemed. Mm-hmm. And I think redemption is good. And anybody could fight against evil, which I think that is good. But there's no longer there's an ultimate good and an ultimate evil.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of the more bigger question, I think, with these kinds of things. So it's not necessarily about, like, if you watch K-pop Demon Hunters, or she kind of mentions, like, some other shows that I've never even heard of with, like, cute little demon creatures or cute little monsters.
Because you're not hip to pop culture anymore.
I know. I guess not. I was in your kid.
Okay. This is really like...
You want to challenge me? You want to go see who could name the most Star Wars characters? I'm in.
I don't... Okay. None of that still qualifies as pop culture.
It's fair.
This is a bit of an existential crisis for you, I can tell.
It is. Everybody, you know, like, we all become our dads, right? Get off my lawn.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that is maybe the question. Are we, first, are we as, like, humans, like, just putting ourselves in the middle of the battle between good and evil, and that's the perspective that matters, is our perspective in the middle, instead of the perspective, like, the greater perspective of God and evil,
yeah,
you know, above.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. And I think that it's actually inherently sinful state to put ourselves in, right? To put ourselves in the center of the battle, like we're the center of the battle,
yeah,
as opposed to taking the notion of, no, this is actually a battle, right, from the perspective of scripture, from the perspective of our faith. This is a battle that God has already won.
Yeah,
we're in a timeline in which that final victory has not yet been accomplished, yeah, but God has already accomplished this victory. You know, the battle is already won, and how do we live towards that place where God has already won that battle, because we are not the center of it, right? Yeah. That we are a blip on the timeline, and we are living towards a promised future where God has already defeated this. And so, yeah, I think having that centric, or that egocentric, human-centric, sure, perspective, that this is me, and I'm the center of this battle, is actually, yeah, sinful. And maybe not sinful in the sense that you're like harming other people with it, but it's sinful in the sense that we're denying the providence, yeah, of God in the midst of all of this.
You know, yeah, you mentioned that, because I definitely think, you know, there are American Christians out there who are very much seeing a good and evil battle that they're much the center of, and I've never heard of K-pop Demon Hunters, and never will.
Absolutely.
And yet still see it through that same kind of lens, mm-hmm, right? And they're saying things like, this thing in culture and society is evil, and from a Christian perspective, I need to fight against it, or we need to stand against it. Without the God has conquered evil,
right,
you know, mindset. So I think we are just kind of naturally kind of getting into the every, you know, our own version of a satanic panic.
Sure.
You know, where instead of the devil is in D&D, the devil is in, you know, abortion, the devil, sure, is in gay marriage, the devil, mm-hmm, is in trans rights, the devil is, yep, in immigration, the devil is in politics,
mm-hmm,
the other side of the aisle, that's where the devil is, and they're evil, and we need to fight against that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that ultimately puts ourselves at, we're the center of the story,
mm-hmm,
instead of, and if that's the fight, if that's like with the fight that I'm in, then yeah, sure, a demon can be redeemed, because people can be redeemed.
Yeah.
And but if it's not, but instead of seeing it through the lens of God has conquered evil,
right,
and I live in this world now, maybe, I don't know, how should I live in the world then, if instead of seeing evil all around me?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's okay to see things that are evil all around you, right? But the question is, do you see that evil as something that you have to fight against, because that's persecuting you, just, you know, or whatever? Or do you see that evil as something God has already defeated, and so you can treat that evil with the love and grace that God has shown you, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the challenge of Jesus, you know, telling us to love our enemies, right? When Jesus says love our enemies, it's not because we don't have enemies. It's because God has loved us when we were enemies to God, and therefore we should love other people even when they are enemies to us. And what does that look like, and what does that mean for us? And so I think in the same way, right, you can look at these things that we might say are evil, right? Maybe you think they're evil, and say, okay, God has already defeated that. That thing holds no power over me. It holds no power over the realm of God. So how do I treat that as something that God has redeemed, has already loved, has, how would that look? And and, you know, for a question like, you know, immigration, right, I don't inherently see immigration as evil, so it's hard for me to speak to that point. But what I would say is, you know, if you are looking at immigration as something that needs to be defeated, okay, if your perspective is God has already defeated this thing in the grand scheme of things, then how would I treat the people who are immigrating as someone that God has redeemed? Right? Like, how would I treat them in that way? Sure. And even Jesus, in the way he treats the demons that he casts out of people, right? He does not take like a destruction post to them, right? He does not destroy any demons that he comes into contact with. He sends them out of people. He says, you don't have power here. You don't have authority here. Yeah. He does not destroy the demons. In fact, the demons, in some ways, ask him for mercy. This is the story of the demoniac with the pigs, right?
Yeah.
They say, you know, Legion. They say, don't send us into the abyss, right, where we're going to be destroyed or something along that line. And Jesus says, all right, you can go into those pigs. Now, it's a weird story where they then, like, run these demons possess the swine, and the swine run into the lake, and, like, it's weird. And I'm not going to deny that's weird, but there is an element of mercy that Jesus is showing to these to this demonic, when he could have, apparently, cast them into some abyss where they'd be...
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, like even as Jesus, you know, battles against evil in the narrative, there's never like a glee in gloating their defeat, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's never like,
ooh, look what I get to do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a one-liner as, you know, Jesus denies the tempter in the desert, you know, like, and not to say like there's a legitimate battle of will, but there's not that same like now it feels like there's more glee and joy over like defeating an enemy than Jesus has over defeating what may be Satan. That's just not there. It's not present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also, there's never a point where the battle is like in doubt. Like when you read scripture, it's never like, oh man, Satan's getting close. Like, you know, he might outflank you. Like, the power of God, the power of Jesus is compelling throughout all of scripture. Now, granted, it is a biased narrative. It is being told from the perspective of people who believe in Jesus as the Son of God, right? I will be happy to acknowledge that. But even when we look at the creation story, right, the contrast of the Judaic and Christian creation story of Genesis 1 and 2 versus a lot of ancient Near East cultures is that there's not a battle between earth and sea or sky and land, right? There is God who speaks all things into existence and tells the water where to stop, right? And like, God is supreme, and there is never any doubt. There's not a battle, a struggle through which humanity is created. There is God who creates all things and is over all things and creates humanity out of love and in God's image.
Yeah. Yeah. For the disciples, you know, the cross, maybe a shocker.
Yeah.
You know,
sure,
but like
sure.
for Jesus and, you know, it's not. And that's not a, we have to rally the troops. One final speech,
right?
You know, one final push up Mount Mordor to save, you know, Middle Earth. Like, that doesn't need to happen.
Solid. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Like pop culture, right there. Nailed it.
In your face.
eight year old.
Take your K-pop demon hunters. the victory is won.
Yeah.
Like, and it's one-handedly, like, you know, and like, we have to live in a world where it's not fully realized,
yes,
but it has already been won.
Yes.
And I think that matters. Now, so, you know, maybe, you know, the question for the K-pop Demon Hunter fans.
Okay.
Could a demon be redeemed?
I mean, I would say yes.
Okay.
But I don't know how demons came to be in their current state.
Sure.
Right? But my reading of scripture is, at least from the human's perspective, God has created a path so that all humans have an opportunity to be redeemed.
Correct. Yeah.
All of creation even has an opportunity to be redeemed. We hear that in Romans from Paul, right? All of creation cries out with eager longing, with sighs too deep for words, right?
Yeah.
And so if all of creation can be redeemed, and demons were presumably created, my argument would be, yes, they can. Now, I don't know how. I don't know what that would look like. But I would say yes.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. You know, we really don't get that part of the story. We get kind of allusions to kind of these things, that pre-creation of the universe, there seems to be angels and maybe angels and demons.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, and then we got like some glimpses of it in Revelation, but it's hard to take anything in Revelation, you know, more than face value.
Right.
Like I'm, you know, I take it with what it is.
It's really valuable stuff. It's not meant to be a history or a,
I think there's some parts of Revelation that are maybe my favorite parts of all of scripture, but beautiful. But I take it for what it is. Right. Like, you know, and so like, yeah, it's hard to say, you know, where I know that in the lake of fire, it says mm-hmm. the devil and all the demons are thrown in.
Yep.
And
that's the second death, I think.
Is that's what the second death. Yeah. And then death and sin are thrown into the lake of fire.
Right.
So there is a defeat.
Yep.
I don't know if there's redemption. I don't know. Yeah, we don't get that in scripture. But yeah. It's not written for demons. Like it's
well,
not,
yeah.
It's
and not, could be redeemed is also different from yeah. are redeemed, right? Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. These are things that I've heard. Does Jesus love Satan?
Does Jesus love Satan?
Yeah.
I think Jesus longs for Satan to be redeemed.
Yeah.
And so I guess there's an element of love in that.
Yeah.
I don't know that Jesus is going to like buddy up to him and be like, yeah, I'm totally cool with everything you do, right? But I think Jesus does long for Satan to be in right relationship with presumably the creator.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. We've gone over like on the podcast, like, is there an antichrist?
Yeah.
What do we think about demons before? Mm-hmm. Do you want to give like a quick, you know, not everybody's necessarily listening every episode.
What?
Do you want to give a, you know, as we're in Halloween here, do you want to give a quick, I mean, I feel like I've talked about K-pop demon hunters and I think we handled that situation, but do you want to give like a quick, like, hey, here's kind of like a thought on, is there an antichrist? What do we think about demons?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, I think there's definitely a spiritual realm in the universe that we don't fully understand. Right. And so whether that's demons, angels, spirits, there's a spiritual world that we don't understand. And there is something happening in that world that we catch glimpses of through scripture, through our encounters with other people. We get, these sometimes referred to as thin places where we get a glimpse of what's happening. And my confidence from scripture is that in the end, whatever's happening in that world, God is victorious. So I make no argument to say, yeah, there are absolutely spiritual things that I do not understand in this world. That doesn't mean that I don't believe in science or medicine or any of those things too. I think those are also true. But yeah, there is a spiritual realm that I don't understand. Alongside of that, you asked about Antichrist. And I would say, you know, part of it is that we've kind of, you know, through the book of Revelation and through others, we've kind of personified the Antichrist as like this single thing,
yeah,
that is going to be like, it's going to come and, oh, it's going to be really clear and obvious and that's going to be the one. And that's not the case. I think there have been people who are, you know, if we look at the word the Antichrist, right, it's literally the one against the Messiah, against the Jesus, right? Yeah. There have been figures throughout history, including in our own time, where people are actively working against the work of the kingdom. And I think those are all antichrists in their own way, right? And so, yes, there are antichrists who are actively working against the kingdom of God in that sense. I don't think any of them yet have forced me to be branded with a special mark or anything like that, which is
the COVID shot.
Maybe that was it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think the COVID shot was it, just to be clear.
Definitely not.
I don't know if that needs to be said, but
ironically, it happened under President Trump.
It did.
So if you think it is, he's the one who gave you
throwing it out there,
who brought out that shot. You know, like, usually the people who think it is are not people who think President Trump is the Antichrist.
That's a fair point.
Usually, in a Venn diagram, it's
no overlap.
No overlap. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't find it useful to point to any particular person or historical figure and say they are the Antichrist.
I agree completely.
I think it's fair to point to people who are actively working against the gospel and working against the kingdom of God and point that out.
In 100% agreement. I do not think that there is a final boss for Jesus that he needs to go defeat. That, you know, he came and did the cross, we rose from the dead, but there's one last boss. Waiting at the end, you know, for Jesus to go beat the snot out of one more time. You know, like, yeah. That's not the case. And that boss has been defeated. That boss was death, and that boss has been killed.
So there was a boss.
Yeah.
But already defeated.
Already defeated. Okay. Yeah. So, like,
there's no longer a boss for Jesus to defeat.
Agreed. I do not think so. Demons.
It's nice of Jesus to operate in video game analogies so that we can follow.
Sure. I mean, obviously, like, when you read, like, the Bible, we'll talk about demons, mm-hmm. some things about the devil, usually it's not necessarily one person
the devil. It's not really what we think of as the
again,
devil.
Again, because we like it clean. Like it clean. There's God, there's devil.
Yep.
Two sides.
Done.
I like that. It's not quite that clean according to scripture, but when you think about, like, I believe in God is like, that makes sense. When mm-hmm. you say things like, I believe in the devil and I believe in demons, you sound a little crazy. Like, you do, I get it. Like, we all understand. But I do. Like, I do think that there are devils and demons. And,
yep,
like,
sure.
And they just look different. And it's not, Jesus exists in a thin space by his mere presence.
Yeah.
And I like that you use that kind of, that language, thin.
Yeah. I will say demon possession, it's weird.
It's weird.
I think it's a thing. I don't think it's mental health. I think it's a thing. But it's weird.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something to be said for, like, it takes hold where it has an impact. Like, I think that we are possessed by more demons than we realize because we've normalized them. And the demons that we know are greed and selfishness and abuse.
Addiction.
Addiction. Yeah, right. I think so. We've normalized some of those. And in other places where maybe a less of a hold of science and modern technology and whatever, I think, you know, demons can operate in other ways. And
100%.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't understand it. I'm just going to,
I
didn't mean to yell that last part.
I think, you know, different culture, different point in time, if things branched differently and got a glimpse in our world, they'd say, they'd look at you holding your cell phone, you know, while your kids play and be like, that's your demon.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that that's legitimate. Like, that could be a legitimate thing, like, that they could say, you know, like, and while I hold my cell phone while my kids play, you know, like, you know, like, and so I think that that is, that could be the case.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, there definitely have been times where the Christian church has looked at people with mental health issues and labeled them demonic.
And that's not helpful.
And that is not helpful. And that is not right. But that does not mean.
That's not what I'm saying.
That there is not. Right. Things that are demonic.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, and actually, I know we've talked about it before on the podcast, so I won't go too far, but C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters really helped reshape my kind of understanding of it. Because I would have, if you had asked me this before I read that book, I'd be like, no, there's no demons. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And just thinking through with Lewis and his writings about how the demonic might be at work in our world, even using those things that we think of as good and righteous and using them to pull us further away from the love of God, I'm like, oh, yeah. There are definitely forces at work that are trying to pull us away from the love of God. Like, I can get behind that. I can see that at work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, you know, to wrap this up, the struggle between good and evil is ongoing, and we experience in our day-to-day lives in our country and our communities right now.
Yep.
But Jesus has already won. Like, take heart, for I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Is true. And we may not fully get it. We may not fully see it. We may not fully realize it, but it is still true.
Yep.
That there isn't that... In Revelation, there is a new earth that is going to get married to heaven and have this really beautiful reconnection and a new humanity of that is going to happen, and nothing can stop that.
Yes.
But we should still stand against things that are bad today.
Agreed.
Yeah. So
I got one more thing for you.
I'm ready.
Halloween's coming up.
Yes.
There are presumably going to be some monsters and demons walking around your neighborhood.
Correct.
Will you be baptizing them as they go? So as to redeem the demon.
Yeah, I got a hose.
I mean, you think about the little, what were they, snot-nosed eighth graders who stole your candy bowl, right?
I'm going to find them and baptize them.
Baptize them to redeem the demon. I'm just saying. I think this is a
cleanse
prime opportunity.
Them.
That's right.
Yes.
get some water and make it happen.
All right, there you go.
I don't support forced baptisms either, just to be clear.
Did you say forced or forest?
Either. No wooded baptisms.
Or baptize people named Forrest.
Sorry, also that, yeah.
Forrest Gump, you're
straight out.
Sorry. Forrest Whitaker, not happening.
I like Forrest Whitaker, all right.
Not Forrest Gump?
I mean, Forrest Gump's a fictional character. Forrest Whitaker's a real person.
That's fair.
All right, if you enjoyed this episode, you can send us your thoughts on if you would baptize a demon that asked for candy at your front door. You can send that to us at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com and find all of our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
All right, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.